B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Yes, from the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Just 90 minutes of Gasper and Murray today as the Bruins have puck drop right around 1 o'clock against the New York Rangers. And Chris, on March 12th, 2020, I decided that very morning that until further notice, I was going to avoid looking at my phone and see what the latest horrible news was, and that I'd do my best to sleep the day away until I had to come in here and sling ticks. A year to the day later. Kind of felt the exact same way yesterday, getting up for my morning whiz, take a peek at old Twitter, find out that Cam Newton's coming back to the Patriots. Oh, good. And obviously the unknown horror of the pandemic taking over our lives and a washed-up bum quarterback coming back for yet another go-around. Probably not on the same level when it comes to things that will send one into a tailspin like it did to me, but I am admittedly more child than I am man. I'm often a very drastic and irrational person, as you well know, so what can I say? I'm a delight to be around. But that's how I felt yesterday with this news. Even though I knew deep in my bones he would be back, and I had said this, you know, you make your appearances on Felger and Mann, as we talked about it in the show. I felt this way for weeks. You could kind of feel it like a month ago when Mike Giardi of NFL Network tweeted, like a 40% chance Cam Newton's going to be back. And you really look what's out there, and even though I wanted to see those big, juicy fits, I wanted Ryan Fitzpatrick, you knew it wasn't going to happen. You knew they wouldn't go with any of these other retreads. I know you're into Marcus Mariota.
I am.
You could probably even talk yourself into Mitchell Trubisky.
I could talk myself into him, definitely, yes.
But you knew it wasn't going to be that. So here we are, Cam Newton all over again. So your initial thoughts and any spin you want to put on it, or are you with me in that there's no good in this right now?
Yeah, let me start with the spin. And you know, you talk to people over there, or in Felger and Maz, you know, parlance, someone got to me. And I think that when you look at this, I think you have to look at the total context of this move. And while it's not satisfying, and while I feel like they could have done better as a placeholder quarterback, that's what he is. He's a placeholder. I don't think this is, you know, we all used to watch, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, right? Final answer. I don't think this is the final answer.
Is that your final answer, Bill?
I don't think this is the final answer. And I can tell you, nobody over there, including Belichick, is under any sort of illusion that Cam is the long-term answer at quarterback. Where I part ways with them is the level of excuse-making for how horrible he was last year, which they used to justify him coming back. Like, here's one that really sort of crawls up my tailpipe that I've heard, and they're definitely putting it out there in the media, that the weapons that Cam had to deal with last year were significantly worse than what Brady had in 2019.
Wrong.
It was basically the same.
Yeah, the same group of receivers and basically the same, you know, weapons.
I know. I understand Julian got hurt, and obviously that had a big, big effect on the passing attack, but Jacoby Myers was 1,000 times better.
You had more tight ends last year.
Damir Bird was way better than Philip Dorsett. Mohamed Sanu did nothing once he came in here. Damian Harris didn't even play. Damian Harris was great.
Redshirted for whatever reason.
For Cam Newton. Yeah. So when I look at that, I mean, that's a spin where I'm like, no. Like, this idea that it wasn't Cam's fault. And look, it wasn't completely his fault, but a lot of it, yeah, was his fault because he stinks.
Yeah.
And I love Cam Newton. I was one of the people that was saying, bring this guy to New England. He can reinvent himself. I want him here. And I can do what Belichick can't. Admit I was wrong. I was wrong. He doesn't fit and he shouldn't be here. And Belichick should be cutting bait on this guy. And instead he's doubling down. And my big picture view of that is this, that we've now reached a point where Bill is 68 going on 69. He'll turn 69 next month. I think he's at a point where his decision-making for this guy that was always known as being bloodless and cold and stoic and separating his emotions, I think as he's gotten older, he's gotten to a point like a lot of older people where he doesn't want to be bothered with people and things he doesn't like. So he overvalues people and things he does like. Like, remember, Belichick makes decisions without sentiment. Well, if he's ever made a decision based on sentiment, isn't it this one?
Oh, it's 100% this one. Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned this with Mike and Tony or within the last couple of days. You know, here's a guy who, when he's brought in a veteran towards the end of his career, you know, give him a shot. But if you can't play anymore, you're gone. Just recently, you know, Eric Decker is one of these examples, right? Like, you've seen this.
I forgot about him.
Joey Galloway and others. Why Cam Newton? Is it just because he's the perfect soldier and he's good in the locker room and you what? Maybe think you can entice free agents, and more importantly, he kisses your ass like this one.
That last part is why he's back.
It is, and that doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm glad you brought this up because this is really one of the main things that's pissed me off about this. Don't let the Belichick toadies and some of the media cartel try to gaslight you in thinking you didn't see what you actually saw with your working set of eyes last year. Don't, because you're now getting this a lot. And these people should be ashamed of themselves. Whatever Cam spin you have, you can consider it ignored. Well, it was the COVID fog. He sucked before he got it against the Vegas Raiders. A game they won, but go look up those stats. I think he threw for like .132. He started showing signs of that he was washed up before he got the COVID. No real training camp. He didn't have time to learn the playbook. The lack of weapons, even though, as Chris just pointed out correctly, Tom Brady basically had the same collection of trash to throw to the year before, and he didn't have Damian Harris. So answer, if you do want to have this kind of gaslighting spin, why can't Cam throw to the right anymore? Why can't he read a blitz when he sees it coming to the, on his open side on the right? Why does he look so glacial? He's done. Don't try to convince us otherwise. Stop with this. The gaslighting, you didn't see what you actually saw last year. Yes, we did. Enough. It's so annoying, Chris.
Yeah, I can tell. I honestly just want to keep listening to you talking. It's like, no, I really have nothing to add to this. But yeah, I mean, look, I'll give you some numbers to back up what you're saying, because I went through this yesterday and I didn't have a chance to use it on Felger and Mass. So just last year, you know, in terms of Cam Newton's career, we know he won an MVP in 2015. So you can look at it and say COVID, all this other thing. But just looking at comparing Cam to Cam, six of the seven lowest passing yardage games of his career, including four games where he threw for fewer than 100 yards, happened last year. Six of the seven in his career happened last year. 54 times in his career, Newton has recorded under 200 yards passing in a game. 10 of those came last year. 10. Ugh. 10 of them came last year. The only four times in his career, I mentioned this, you know, earlier about the four times he had games under 100. Only four times in his career has he recorded fewer than 100 yards passing. They all happened last year in the 15 games that he played. So a quarter of the games in his career, you know, where he's done that, took place last year. So, I mean, I just think that when you're looking at you know, what's going on, it's just insane to sort of look at it and say, okay, you know, you didn't see what you saw from this guy. I mean, by his own standards in his career, he was terrible last year.
Yeah, and I like you, like, heading into it, I was actually for it. You know, at the time, I was like, okay, you know, I've been told time and again from media cartel, like, Stidham's the guy. We've never seen a rookie quarterback look this good at training camp before. He's even better than Garoppolo.
Okay, oh, yeah.
I had talked myself into Stidham. Turns out it wasn't. They signed Newton. I was like, all right, at the very least, they're going to be interesting. I could tell basically within 3 weeks, like, oh, this is going to be tough. Like, I know, look, they won the first game against Miami.
Yeah, that was great.
Moral victory, even though it was a loss in Seattle.
That was a great game, though. It was very entertaining.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. And then you see, like, that Vegas game, it was like, oh, boy. And then it just eroded from there. And I don't want to do it again, guys. I don't. I know I'm not alone there. And so that's the other thing. So
you loved post game last year. That was great. You got Chris excited every Sunday for the games and to break it down afterwards. You were, you know, sitting there with your little Patriots credit card. You had a good time.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was great. You know, so now I'm like, well, maybe they won't get as many night games this time around because they're going to suck. Like,
okay. So again, you know, we're going to sort of go on a tangent here for a second, but you can't really complain about the night games because I did like three of them for you.
That is true. Yeah. No, I owe you for that one.
Yeah. I did like three night games for you last year.
Oh, God. Was that a win? Time and again. Yeah. Like, no, I can't get these Channel 5 duties. Can you do the yes. I wouldn't even let you finish the sentence.
There were a few times where like the night game would be like 2 weeks away and you'd like text me and be like, so you think, with Channel 5, you think you'll be able to do pregame or you're going to have to do the night game again? Just like a nice little nudge, like, yeah. What do you think here, you know?
So the gaslighting and then this other thing that they got to you about,
yeah.
And at least you're not doing the thing that has also annoyed me over the last 24 hours since this signing, is that you need to calm down. You need to calm down. They're not done at the position. Okay, you want to tell me they're not done at the position. Okay. Don't tell me or anyone else to calm down. No. I don't want to hear that in any aspect of my life.
Yeah, I'll do what I want.
Yeah, no. I'll act how I want, and I'll be an irrational child when I want, and I will in this case, too. I get it. You got a job to do. I think you're brainwashed, but you'll be ignored. I'm not going to take you seriously. But until they do anything else, until Belichick drafts a quarterback or brings in someone else to compete with Cam Newton, don't tell me, especially me, or anyone else, that I got to be calm and rational about Cam Newton being back here. Because you, me, anyone else who was forced to watch that guy butcher that position last year, and then have the stubborn coach defend him week after week after week, and then spit in everyone's faces when they actually, you know, did start asking real questions like, why are you sticking with him? Cam's a quarterback. Cam's a quarterback. We have every right to be pissed that we likely have to relive that this guy's going to be the week one starter, Chris. I don't give a damn. There's zero reason why he should be anywhere near any NFL roster, let alone this one. So he stinks. It's a waste of $5 million to me as of right now. I don't care if it's backup money. Fine. I can understand. Yes, they might not be done, but don't tell me to be calm about this signing right now. I'm not going to do it.
So I won't give you the old Rosie Colvin calm down over this. But, you know, I think you're bringing up some interesting points, and it's really fascinating that you mentioned Stidham, because I have 2 points on that. There's proof that the Patriots have gaslit us before on the quarterback position, and all you have to do is go back to last offseason and Stidham. And the propaganda campaign with him, you know, they're happy to go into the season with Stidham. They really like Stidham. Stidham's the guy. Like all this, remember all that? And then they
Chris,
wouldn't.
Do I bought it.
And then they wouldn't even put the guy on the field in like the meaningless regular season finale against the Jets. So he went from being like, we're happy with him. He's the starter, to we don't even want to put him on the field. So that's point one on Stidham. Point two related to Stidham with Newton. Is yes, you know, what I'm hearing is they're not done. It doesn't preclude them from doing anything else at the position to help the team. I think that it's more likely to come through the draft. However, I think they're still going to explore outside quarterback options. But outside of Jimmy Garoppolo, if you are Mitchell Trubisky, if you're Marcus Mariota, you know, getting traded, if you are your guy, Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you're Teddy Bridgewater and you get cut, why would you come to New England and think you're going to get a fair shot at the job? When, based on the way Cam Newton played last year, not only did Belichick stick with him the entire year and wouldn't even give the other guy a chance, he then re-signed him. So that's the part of this where I sort of part ways with them in terms of there's no risk here and, you know, it doesn't really matter that we're bringing – it does matter that you're bringing him back, because it sends a message that Bill's invested in this guy in any other quarter. Alex Smith's another guy. Why would you come here and compete with Cam when you know the competition is already rigged?
Yeah, he's already got a place in Belichick's cold heart.
Yep.
You have really no shot. But out here, you got some of these people out here, some of the media cartel members, playing all Obi-Wan Kenobi, like, oh, you don't see what you actually saw with Cam Newton last year. It was COVID. It was a COVID fog. He was fine. No, he wasn't. He sucked, and he shouldn't be back here. Oh, my God.
Do you really think, though, I mean, as a former beat writer, I have to defend my beat writers here. Where are you? I haven't really seen that. I mean, I've seen people basically doing what I'm doing, which is, look, you know, you.
Oh, I've seen the tweets with the additional, like, calm down. Don't
really?
Again, I hate those words.
But I mean, look,
calm
part
down.
Of the job when you're covering the team is you have to get, you know, what their side of it is. And so you know, here's what the Patriots' rationale is. You don't have to like it. You don't have to believe it. And you and I don't. But I don't really see what you're seeing in terms of like beat writers trying to, you know, carry the water. I haven't seen that. I honestly have. So, I mean, I don't. You don't necessarily have to name names, but do you feel like you're seeing this? And even like, I'll tell you what, I'll name a name. My guy, Mike Giardi, who's great. He's not doing that. He's not doing calm down or carrying water. He is repeating what he's heard from the team, which is, hey, we're going to invest more in the weapons. And we think Cam had worse weapons than Brady. I don't think Mike's saying that. He's saying, here's what my sources are telling me about why they're bringing Cam back and how they can bring him back and justify it.
Yeah, it might be just more from the team than anything else. Like, okay. I certainly wouldn't put it on Mike. No, he's
no.
just regurgitating
yeah, he's
what
just,
he's been told.
He's just telling you, here's, you know, he's not saying I agree with it or I don't agree with it. He's saying, here's what they're saying and how they feel.
Yeah, and I don't like their message is what it really comes down to.
Yeah. So don't shoot the messenger.
All right. Yeah, no, I just want to. I'm so pent up, Chris, and angry
know,
about this.
I know.
It's like I want to. You know.
Well, in the break, you give me names.
Yeah. Fine. Sure enough. Well, with that too. So the other narrative that's now starting to be spun is, well, he can help pull in free agents, guys, you know, free agents. So I want to get into that coming up next year. If you want to get into the show, 617-779-0985. Not a lot of time this morning. Only a 90-minute show as the Bruins will drop the puck right around 1 against the New York Rangers. So you want to get on with us, 617-779-0985.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Chris Gasper and Big Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire. Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, sense of urgency.
Do you not believe in what you are offensively? Then you need to make drastic changes. I'm talking next week. I mean, if you can't put it in this guy's hands 12 weeks in and tell him, go run a two-minute drill, put Stidham in and turn a team over to him. Because this is embarrassing.
That would be the worst decision he ever made, because now you're not being fair to your team. Mm-hmm. You're not being fair to your team. When I saw what I saw with Cam, every time I saw Cam play, pretty much, I was hurt. Because I was a guy that believed in Cam. And when you see him drop back and he continues to throw the ball into the ground, throw it 5 feet or 5 yards above somebody else, you're like, what are you doing, Cam? I would say this. You have to find a quarterback. And it would be a terrible mistake for Bill Belichick to bring Cam back, because Cam can't play football anymore. He just can't play quarterback in national football.
So, I mean, those of you that want to defend Cam Newton coming back, what do you say to Rodney Harrison? Is Rodney Harrison a hot taker? Did Bill do him dirty? Like, no, he's telling you the truth. He can't play football anymore. You really want to talk yourself into this again? And I know they're not done. There's more to come. Okay, all right, fine. We'll see. Maybe Bill will use a fourth round pick, Chris, on Kellen Mond or Jamie Newman.
Yeah, I'm Kellen Mond, man. I think that could be the guy at the end of the day. I wouldn't be surprised.
And Cam here is also to act as a mentor for those kids. Yeah. Fine.
Can I give you a little positive intel?
Okay.
I think the expectation right now with the Patriots is that they are going to be aggressive in the draft with a quarterback, and that they are going to, you know, pick one in the first three rounds.
Okay. All right. Then I can get positive for that, and I will get excited when that time comes. But in the meantime, don't tell me to calm down. I don't like this move. You shouldn't like this move. The guy can't play football anymore. And here's the other part of the spin I'm starting to get annoyed with, Chris. He can act as this lightning rod for potential free agents. So, all right, maybe, because I will say, you know, there is the cool factor to Cam Newton.
And oh, he's cool as hell.
The I Am Athlete video podcast that's all over YouTube with him and Brandon Marshall and some of these other dudes, Fred Taylor and others. And, like, you know, guys got drip and swagger and all that.
No doubt.
Guys get better hat collection than I'll ever have in my entire life. So all of that, yes. But if he can entice a free agent, that the kind of player that really cares about football? And I always thought it was all about football here the last couple of decades plus with Bill Belichick at the helm, Chris. So is it more about football for the player that will be enticed by Cam Newton, or the cool factor?
It has to be more about the cool factor. And I
don't like that.
I agree, and that's what I'm – I mean, again, let's go back to Rodney Harrison. When the Patriots recruited Rodney Harrison as a free agent, this is a famous story. Were they selling like, oh, man, our quarterback is like so cool, he's like a GQ guy? Like, you know what? No. Bill Belichick took him to the ground round, and they talked about football. That was the recruiting visit.
They used to have great potato skins.
I know.
Missed the ground round.
And so now the idea is like you're going to sort of have Cam be – I mean, I guess he's kind of like the ambassador for the culture. And maybe it sort of goes back to that I Am Athlete thing where they're talking about like the most misunderstood dude in sports is Belichick, and maybe he's going to tell people like it's more fun here than you think. Maybe the way they're going to recruit is different than, hey, come play with me, like, you know, it's going to be great. Maybe it's more Cam being like, oh, you know, they said it wouldn't work with me and it worked with me, like Bill's misunderstood, like he's really cool. But even that, like, and this is what I was saying yesterday, I think if anything, the fact that Cam's your primary quarterback, a lot of these guys, I think you might have to pay more money. because guys aren't stupid. You look at the NFL and what's going on now and how many guys are getting released due to the cap crunch. Guys know whatever contract you sign, like after 2 years, you know, when your guaranteed money is out, they're probably going to put you in the street or ask you to restructure. So if anything, you have to pay me more upfront, because if you're going to dump me back out in the market and I just played a year or two with Cam Newton, I know my numbers are going to look like trash. So you're going to have to pay me more. And here's the other thing. Yeah, Cam's cool, but these are professional football players. They know football when they see it. And if you have a kid at Cam's own football camp calling him out, being like, yo, bro, you sucked last year, you think that these players don't realize it?
I mean, that's the line. You had that yesterday at Felger and Maz, and it's really true. Like, I mean, you saw that, how viral it went all over social media. You think that other players haven't seen that, and they're not, you know, some guys maybe clowning him behind his back or thinking like, oh, my God, he's getting lit up by a 15-year-old at his own camp. Like, at some point, yeah, it's nice to get that money, especially if someone like Hunter Henry is going to get his first real, yeah, true payday. But he did say in that interview on SiriusXM NFL Radio a few weeks back, you know, yeah, he wants to get paid, but he also wants a good quarterback that's going to throw to him too. Cam Newton ain't that. So if I'm in Hunter Henry's shoes, I would reconsider. What do you guys think of the signing? If you didn't get a chance to weigh in on it yet, 617-779-0985. We'll start with Tom in Newton. You're first up here on Gaspar Murray. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. I mean, I obviously echo everything everybody's been saying about Cam Newton. You know, you hate to see that. I mean, I think really more than anything else, what's aggravating about this is it's like just the defiance of Bill. You know, it's like we said, or, you know, you guys said, you know, during the week, and I think over the last couple of weeks when there's been all this, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo chatter in the media, it's like, you know, the Patriots and their, you know, cronies in the media basically trying to, like, will the league, like, trying to get the dominoes to fall. And when, you know, those dominoes don't fall and the Patriots can't get who they want for the price they want to pay, like, they just don't want to extend themselves in terms of money, in terms of Bill, you know, having to put up with some guys who are talented but have attitudes. And it's like, here we are. And honestly, like, I'm not that worried about it, because at the end of the day, they're either going to suck or they're not. And if they suck, there's nowhere for Bill to hide this year. There's no COVID excuse. You know, Brady won.
Tom, I don't know.
The fans' responses, like, they're either good or they're bad, you know. And it's like, and here we are. There's nowhere to hide for Bill, so, you know, put up or shut up.
Yeah, it's a good point, Tom. I got to think that you're going to have some sort of fans in there this, you know, by the time that the fall rolls around. Maybe that's 20%. Maybe it's full capacity, yeah, and everyone's, yeah, vaccinated, and, you know, we're back to some semblance of normalcy. But he is right, Chris. You really can't hide this time around.
No, and that's, I'll tell you what, I think this is the ultimate in Bill we trust move. And to me, this is the biggest sort of test of the belief in Bill Belichick. I'd have to go back to, again, Tom Brady, when he chose Brady over Bledsoe. Because people forget at the time. I mean, that was a huge gamble for Belichick. And that was a real, like, you got to trust me thing. I mean, here's this young, relatively unknown QB who's subbing in for the franchise cornerstone in Bledsoe. And Bledsoe was basically like, you know, another Kraft son. He had a really close relationship with the Krafts. He had, like, the biggest contract in the league.
This isn't hyperbole for you Youngs.
Yeah, I mean, he was pissed. I mean,
the Bledsoe people were pissed and couldn't understand it.
I mean, it was a big deal. And I remember, too, I had actually worked, I've actually gotten checks from the Patriots. I've had RKK sign my checks. In 2001, after I graduated college, I am that old, I worked Patriots training camp in Smithfield, Rhode Island. I worked for Patriots, you know, then Patriots Football Weekly. I was a member of you know, sunshine.com.
Yeah.
And what I did, I was a circulation intern, which meant I went around being like, get your Patriots Football Weekly here. And so I got checked. So I was at that 2001 training camp. And I remember we were selling, like, media guides and other things. And they had, like, it was like Bledsoe, I think Willie McGinnis and somebody else in hard hats on the cover, because the new stadium was coming the next year.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bledsoe was like, he was the cover boy for the whole franchise. Like, the whole franchise, everything we were selling was based around Drew Bledsoe. So it was a huge gamble by Belichick to go with Brady. And it was a brilliant move. And obviously it worked out. I feel like this is the biggest in Bill we trust move since then. So you have to go back 20 years to find where Bill put more of his, you know, capital and junk on the table to say, hey, I'm doing this and I don't care what you guys think.
All right, more of your phone calls on the Cam Newton signing at 617-779-0985. We'll get to those. And coming up, I want to get your thought on the Trent Brown trade from earlier in the week, Chris. And does this mean, because he's taking a pay cut, that, well, guys are willing to come play for Bill Belichick right now, even though Tom Brady's not here anymore? I know you have some thoughts on that. We'll get to that next here on Gaspar Murray.
This is Gaspar and Murray. Gaspar and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Is 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 the Sports Hub.
To me, this deal doesn't say really anything about what they're going to do. Now, you could say that, would you say that it possibly, it makes it, you could say it's easier to see them going, say, you know, quarterback at 15 and pairing him with Newton. I would say that's fair. But I just think, trust me, I've talked to the people there. They don't know what's going to happen. I would say all options are on the table still for the Patriots at this point in time. It's just they got a guy that, you know, they look at all the different scenarios. Like, say the Jaguars don't want to trade Minshew. Say the Jets don't want to trade Darnold. Say the San Francisco 49ers don't want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Out of all those other options, Cam Newton plus whatever in the draft to that, that's basically plan B, plan C for the Patriots. And that's the only thing that they can lock up right now and have a known entity there. So that's what this all tells me.
All right. There's Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal's take on the Cam Newton signing. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So, all right, wait and see. Just don't want to hear calm down. They're not done at the position. You're calm down. No, I'm not going to be calm until whatever happens. And he mentions, you know, this is now plan B, C, you know, this additional with a whoever they end up drafting. And you're also hearing, Chris, that they're going to draft someone.
Yep, I think they will draft someone high.
Well, what happened to plan A, which I heard and had shoved down my throat over the last week or so, which was Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, no, they're going to really make a push for Jimmy Garoppolo. And Garoppolo is going to be on his way back. Why'd that fall apart? Or was that all fake?
It wasn't fake. I think that is plan A. I think in a lot of ways that could be. But I think they're coming to the realization now that maybe San Francisco won't move him. And if they do, it's going to be closer to the draft. And I don't think they want to wait. They wanted to get something on the books. And, you know, they think that Cam provides them stability and insurance. And he was here last year. And they think there's more there. Now, I would disagree with that, but they feel like, okay, at least we have somebody there. Here's where I push back a little bit, though. Okay, so Cam bringing him back doesn't preclude you from doing anything, and I understand what the money is, but I'm still not sold that Cam Newton is going to be okay being a backup. I mean, he already said at the end of last year, there's not 32 quarterbacks better than me. So he said, I know he loves Bill, but he's going to be okay being a backup? Like, let's say you do trade for Jimmy. And you somehow get him around the draft because the 49ers get Darnold or Deshaun Watson. So then you bring in Jimmy. Cam's going to be okay being a backup? Or do you just cut Cam at that point? How does that work?
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either, not for a second.
And so the other thing I feel vindicated about is earlier in the week, the Patriots make the trade with the Vegas Raiders to bring Trent Brown back. And there was some scuttlebutt of like, well, no, this proves this is going to Bill's going to be in the play for a pocket passer. And this is showing that they're going to play for a quarterback a play for a quarterback. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Like, well, Trent Brown was excellent here in 2018 and finally played a full season for the first time in his career. That was more of a, I mean, they won that Super Bowl. As much as you and I are Brady people and Brady Bobos, like, they won that Super Bowl and made that deep run because they focused more on the running game. And their offensive line was the strength of the team, which Trent Brown, again, was part of. So when that happened, Chris, I'm like, oh, they are going to bring Cam Newton back because they're going to focus on trying to run the ball. And that's exactly what happened. And he also takes the pay cut. And some of the narrative has been, we'll see. Guys are willing to take a pay cut and come play for Bill. It would mean more to me, Chris, that this happens this coming week with a free agent, a big name free agent that maybe had some other offers from some other teams, and they come here on, you know, a decent contract, maybe a little less that was offered in, say, Cincinnati, but no, I want to come to the Patriots because of Bill Belichick. Like, that will prove more to me that there's still a draw here with Bill than Trent Brown, who's already been here.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Jim. First of all, he's already been here, so he knows what it's like. So he has that advantage. And in terms of taking less, I mean, I can tell you based on, you know, people I've talked to, he was going to have to take less no matter where he went. You know, the Raiders were going to bring him to camp. They weren't going to cut him as a cap casualty. But the reality is, at the end of camp or whatever, if he was going to make the team, he was going to have to restructure the contract. So he didn't restructure his contract for the Patriots. He restructured his contract because it was better to do it now, early on when teams still have cap space and money, because the longer he waited, the greater the chance that he'd have to take even more of a haircut. So the haircut he had to take to go to the Patriots wasn't that bad. And I'll also tell you this. I spoke to someone who knows this guy well, and they said to me that this is a player where you have to keep a foot up his butt, and that without Dante being here, that could be a lot harder for the Patriots. And basically this person was saying to me that, look, you know, Trent Brown's good at fooling people to get his money, and maybe the Patriots luck out and he's able to sort of, you know, because he wants his money, have a good year again this year and fool people and then get his cash and then shut it down again.
Chris, I'm not surprised to hear that at all, because going into 2019, I remember trying to make the case to bring him back. And those that cover the team, they're down there and that have sources like Bedard, they're like, you don't want that. No, as it was tough for them to keep him on the beam for 2018.
Yes.
And you got the best out of him, time to move on. I'm like, okay, I'll take your word for it. And, you know, those people were proven right with how he played out in Vegas, which is get paid like $37 million guaranteed and, you know, balloon up to 400 pounds. He played, I think, 13 games total over the last couple of years.
He basically took the money and ran.
Yeah.
Like he was a major disappointment for the Raiders, no question about it. And that's sort of his reputation in the league that, you know, and that's why this is actually a good move for the Patriots in that he has something to play for now. They cut his deal. Like, the more significant part of it to me wasn't that he restructured for this year. It's that he agreed to lop a year off his deal, and the Patriots got him to do that because that makes him a free agent, pending free agent, which means he's going to have to, you know, play. And that's where they'll get the most out of him. But is this a long-term fit?
No, probably not. I will give the man this, though, despite the fact, you know, I really did like how he played in 2018 here, too. He got maybe the greatest tattoo I've ever seen in my entire life on his right bicep. Oh, you haven't seen it?
No, I mean, that means a lot coming from you because you had a lot of ink.
It's the best. Just look up Trent Brown tattoo.
Okay.
If you're 18 and older. It's that he got it as plain as the eye could see, like right out there in the open. It's something. Frank the Tank on the Cam Newton signing yesterday. Go ahead, Frank. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello.
Well, you know what I really miss about the ground round, Jim? They had the coldest tall Bud Lights in the history of cold Bud Lights. I really miss their draft beer there. It was a great place to go and you know, just get sauced for the day.
And they'd let you, too. The one in Stoneham, they'd really let you get polluted. Man, I miss the ground round.
Yeah, I used to go with my buddy all the time to the one in Fresh Pond in Cambridge. We used to get sauced in that place and walk home. It was the best. Look, you know, I respect Cam Newton as an athlete. I really do. The guy, you know, he's a great athlete, but he's just not a good quarterback anymore, in my opinion. I don't like the move. I would rather have them just deal with Stidham if, you know, their whole thing was, oh, we'll just have Cam Newton as a filler for another year. I would rather have them just take their chances with Stidham. But to me, like, you know, this to me, and I do not want another coach in this town except for Bill Belichick. I think we all love him as a coach. I hope that they bury him where he stands on the sidelines of Foxborough someday. But, you know, this is definitely all his fault. You know, and you alluded to it, you know, yesterday on Felger and Maz, you know, try to repair your relationship with Brady. But, you know, I really do feel that they need to go get Garoppolo. I really do feel that he should give up what he needs to give up to go get him. This is not going to be a 1-2 year turnaround fix it problem for the Patriots. I think he should go get Garoppolo, get your quarterback. You wanted him in the first place, get him back here and then build your team around him and go for another Super Bowl. So I do put a lot of blame on Bill for their current quarterback situation. That's just my thought on it.
Frank, good to hear from you as always, and thanks for the call. And Chris, you know that I am certainly no Garoppolo guy, and you aren't either. But if Bill, that part I agree with completely, though. If Bill wanted to really change the narrative and turn things around that, you know, Brady won, and he did, he won the Super Bowl. But if he wanted to, you know, get, you know, change the tide there a bit, wouldn't you go get the guy that you thought was the guy post-Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo? And there's no price that's too high to pay.
I agree.
15 overall, I think too high. I don't think you do.
I don't. I mean, if that's your guy and for that position, I don't. I mean, especially the way they do pick swaps. So let's say you give him 15 overall and you get back Jimmy and the 49ers 2 or Jimmy and the 40, you know, you don't have a 3. So you get Jimmy and the 49ers 3. Like, I would do that deal if you think Jimmy's what you think he is, to the point where you're like, it doesn't look any different when Jimmy's out there. And if Jimmy thinks Jimmy is, you know, what he is, which is he's like, oh, my favorite quarterback to play on the scout team is Aaron Rodgers. I think there's a lot of similarities there. Yeah. Would you give up the number 15 pick for Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, if I'm Bill and that's how I feel, then yes.
Yeah.
There's no price that's too high to pay. And I would say, like, so even I used to say I wouldn't give a second for him. But if Bill believes that much in him, I would give my second and I would make sure that I would pay that salary, the $25
million. I agree.
But apparently it seems like they don't want to do that. So,
well, they like a deal, too. And they feel so here's the thing. They like a deal. Bill likes a deal. And the feeling, I think, across the league is that Jimmy's a little bit of a distressed asset at this point. But he's not a distressed asset for you because your entire offense is a distressed asset. So you have a problem there. Can I just scratch an itch here for a second?
Sure.
So one of the other things that comes up when we talk about Cam is people say, oh, you know, you guys always point out he only threw the 8 touchdown passes. But, you know, what about the 12 rushing touchdowns he had in the 500 yards rushing? So this was something I was curious about, and I found it on Pro Football Reference. I was like, I want to know the distance of these touchdowns and how many of them came from outside of 10 yards.
They're like fullback runs, Chris.
They are. These are the Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, LeGarrette Blount goal line touchdowns that normally would go to the running back. So I'm looking at it here, and outside of 5 yards last year, he had 2 touchdown runs outside of 5 yards. He had a 9-yarder. And he had an 11-yarder. Everything else was 5 yards and in. So it's, I mean, let's not pretend like this is Lamar Jackson ripping off 55-yard touchdown runs. So, yeah, we can talk about the 12 touchdown runs, and that's great. But to your point, these are the runs that would go to, you know, like a Rex Burkhead type of guy. Or I mentioned Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, or LeGarrette Blount, or who's the fullback I'm drawing a blank on?
Who had the neck issue. I know, yes. Same here.
James Devlin.
James Devlin, thank you.
These are the runs that would go to, like, these guys. These are like, it's basically like being like, oh, well, you know, you didn't count Tom Brady's quarterback sneak touchdowns in his, like, all-time touchdown things, so let's count those, too. I mean, you got to give me a break on this. I get it. He made some good plays with his feet last year, but the idea that sort of we got to look at the 12 touchdown runs the way we look at them if they came from Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson irks me to no end.
Just want to say a nice shout out and a happy birthday to our own Joe Murray, who tweeted, love the ground round talk, cheese and crackers, popcorn. They did a promotional
popcorn.
Pay what you weigh, Charlie Chaplin films and ice cream and baseball caps, gold finger wings for the win. Yes. I miss the ground round. That was such a great
best.
Local chain. And you know where else was underrated, Chris? Because I think you probably know the place, having grown up in Lane. Remember Spuds?
I do remember Spuds. Spuds. We used to go to Spuds. Spuds was really
was
good.
Great. He had one on that Saugus Lynn line. There was one up in Peabody, too.
It was a little dangerous, though, because there's like that bridge there. And I feel like, you know, I don't want to say every year I'm exaggerating, but there would be some car accidents related to that little bridge there, people coming out of Spuds.
Yeah.
That didn't always go well.
Well, you know, you drink what you weigh when you would go to that establishment. But all right, coming up, a long commercial-free segment. We'll touch on the salt in the wound of the Brady extension down in Tampa. More of your phone calls on the Cam Newton signing. Then we'll get into the Sports Hub Celtics show. And also at the top of the hour, in the headlines, we'll give you some breaking news on Jake DeBrusque ahead of today's Bruins game against the Rangers. A lot coming up here on Gaspar Murray.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Bucks have a not-so-secret cap weapon, and his name is Tom Brady. And I told you, warned you, that he, Tom Brady, was about to drop a little bombshell on your head. Mm-hmm. And he just dropped it. Right on time, because they're going to need this starting Monday, or need it over the weekend to finish off a potential Shaq Barrett deal.
Correct.
And it's going to be a big deal because he said publicly, it's time for me to break the bank.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also time for him to continue living in Tampa, playing for Bruce Arians with Tom Brady with no state income tax.
Woo.
That's what you have going for
yes.
you in that situation.
Yes.
And you have the whole concept of let's do it again.
Yeah, Skip Bayless. Along with Shannon Sharp.
That show is truly terrible.
You see what he got paid to go back to?
I did. That show is so bad.
Oh. Either way, Chris, you know, that is my dream, to sell out and get that kind of money for some just like dumb job like that. Oh, my God.
Oh, I could totally see you doing that, too. You just need the right person. I could see you doing, like, would you do the Nick Wright thing? Like, if they asked you to, like, grow your hair back, you get, like, a hair transplant and, like, put on a suit. And I could see you doing the Nick Wright
thing. Yeah, I could be, like, light Nick Wright. I already have the nose and weak chin. Yeah, give me a hair transplant, whatever.
I mean, they gave him a real makeover.
They really did.
They really did.
I always thought he looked better bald. But, yes, the bottom line is I will sell out for that kind of money in a heartbeat. You want me to be a Bobo for any team, too? Pay up. I am ready to go. That said, you know, he says that Tom Brady dropped the bombshell yesterday after this Cam Newton news. And I don't know if he dropped a bombshell, but he certainly dropped something else right in your face, Bill and the Patriots. And wow. And yes, those of us on the hashtag right side of history, Chris, that, you know, we're choosing Tom over team until he's gone. How about that? I ain't done yet. We're running it back. I'm taking a pay cut. We're going to try to keep the band together. So I would imagine we would be hearing about Shaquille Barrett being back with the Bucks any day now.
I hope so. So that's interesting. So just the juxtaposition of this. Patriots, we're running it back with Cam Newton. Brady, we're running it back to win another Super Bowl, an eighth Super Bowl, and we're running it back with Chris Godwin and Levante David and Shaq Barrett.
And you got to think that Gronk's going to be back in the fold, probably Antonio Brown as well. Like, oh boy, no, that's how you run it back. It's still, and I said this yesterday on television.
Can I just say quickly? Yeah. It feels like the Patriots running it into the ground, Buccaneers running it back.
Yes, yeah, no, that's a perfect way to put it. And while I've enjoyed this and, you know, fire the cannons and all that, and Gene Deckerhoff stuff, and that run in January was just such a bonus for me as like a Brady Bobo and just for us as a show. Like, God, I thought they'd maybe win a playoff game, Chris, but that was just such extra, just a joy. What a bonus that was. But it shouldn't have come to this. Like, right? Like, I know that, you know, 2019 was gross. I thought the 12-4 record was fake. Like, I've said all this stuff a million times. They felt like they had to go their separate ways. But really, 2 years, $50 million, show them a little bit of respect. It really didn't. You didn't have to do much, Bill. Guys, Crafts, it shouldn't have come to this. It's stupid. It's dumb.
It is disappointing. But, I mean, emotions get involved.
They
and
do.
Pride gets involved. And, you know, like I was telling you guys at the time, you know, 20 years is a long time to be in any relationship. And I think sometimes your judgment, your logic gets clouded by emotion or slights or whatever. And Bill just couldn't move off where he was at. I think Brady was exhausted by the whole Bill experience. And, you know, contrary to what Felger believed, it was not about the money. And here's the other thing about Brady. So it's about the money. He just won the Super Bowl through 40 touchdown passes. You see this deal he did with the Buccaneers? It's basically like a 1 year extension because there's voidable years in it. He doesn't even get a raise. It's $25 million again. Yeah. So he's not, you know what I'm saying? So what happened to it's all about the money?
It is not all about the
not
money.
Not with that guy. And it's look, about win. And I'll just say this quickly for the, you know, Felger, because he might be driving around listening. Or more likely, somebody's driving him around. He's in the back seat saying, pass the Grey Poupon over in Wellesley. But I'll just.
Driver, turn this up. I want to hear
turn
what
this
Casper
up. I want to hear
say.
This. It's sort of like when John Henry was driving around. Maybe Felger's driver will bring him to the studio and he'll come, you know, rushing in here. But I just think, again, when you look at Brady, somebody told me this about Brady a long time ago in his camp when I was asking about why he always took less. And they said, let me ask you something. Is there a wing in the Hall of Fame for contracts? Do you see anything in the Hall of Fame related to this guy signed the biggest contract? And I said, no. And they said, yeah, exactly. So that's the thing. Like for him, the legacy, everything, it's about wins and championships. There is no wing in the Hall of Fame for contracts. They don't put people in the Hall of Fame just for contracts. If they did, they, you know, put Darrell Revis in. It'd be like basketball where like Bill Russell's now nominated as a coach, even though he's already in. You'd put Darrell Revis in as a player and then Darrell Revis in again for his contracts, but they don't do that. So that's never been what motivated him. So, okay, the driver can turn it down now, Felgie.
And it's also, if we're being fair, it is also easier for him to take these kind of deals and, you know, over the last 10 years or so when your wife is the breadwinner.
That's true.
Tommy and Lynn, our guy Tommy and Lynn on Cam Newton signing. Hey, Tommy.
What's up, boys?
Tommy.
I don't like the Cam Newton signing. He's not a good quarterback. He's not good for our business. Murray, I feel bad for you. You have to put up with all the suffer, but Me, you, and Gasper, Team Brady all the way. Go, Brady.
That's right, Tommy. Fire the cannons out there and Lynn.
She is the best.
I had people telling me, yeah, he's doing the calls, of course, for Florida
basketball.
State basketball.
Yeah, they're playing the ACC tournament championship game today against Georgia Tech. Yeah,
ACC's the place to be, and we'll fire the cannons when Brady's the man of the Bucks of the team, and they're back in the fall. They're running it back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.